So how's the con been treating you?
It's good. You have to give me a moment. I just went up steps to get here, so okay. That's never fun.
But right.
It's good so far.
Excellent. So I was just wondering, so with the huge success of season one of The Walking Dead, how has your life changed since the premiere?
Not very much. I mean, I guess in all the obvious ways, I can afford more diapers for my children. If I want to buy a complete set of Garbage Pail Kids on eBay, I don't have to ask my wife so hard. For the most part, it's mostly the same. I keep my head down and I just work on comics most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've relocated to Los Angeles to work on the second season.
Okay.
So I'm living there for a year on like a trial basis, going into the writer's room every day, and that's very different. But, you know, otherwise I'm just working on comics and that's pretty much the same, so...
What's your relationship to the writer's room? Are you sort of function as sort of like a kind of a showrunner, or do you like oversee and like, no, the characters want to do this, or are you like in like with the other writers, like spitballing ideas to each other?
Yeah, Frank is definitely the showrunner, and
okay.
He's in the room every day too. And then Glenn Mazera is like the head of the writer's room. And then, I'm an executive producer on the show, and so, you know, I don't know, I just consider myself to be one of the writers. I sit there with everybody else, and I throw out ideas with them, and... I haven't had to shoot anything down, thankfully, but, you know, everybody in the room shoots things down, so
right.
It's not like I'm sitting there going, oh, we can't do that, and everyone else is going, what? Oh, it's Robert, okay. That just doesn't happen. Everyone in the writer's room is, like, really well-versed in the comics, and they know what the show is, and they know what the show needs to be, so it's really just, like, eight people sitting in a room talking about the show and coming up with cool ideas for it, so it's really a lot of fun.
So is the story for each episode broken like in that room, or is it, does Frank come up with like a germ of an idea?
We start with the season and then we work our way down. So, you know, we go, this is what we want the season to be, this is where we want to start, this is where we want to end, you know, this is where we want each character to start and end, and then we start breaking that down by episode. Where did all these events take place and what episodes do they fall in? And then we've, you know, sat down, and once we do that, we're like, okay, this episode's a little light. We need more for this, more for that. We start beefing up each individual episode, and then we go off and write the episodes. So that's how the process is.
We talked to a source who said that the writers and you had gone to K&B to look at what Greg Nicotero had.
Who's the source?
Greg Nicotero.
He told us
he has visited and looked at sort of like the effects they were playing.
Yeah, it's actually been a lot of fun. I mean, not only are we, we went to K&B and did a tour of their facilities and talked to Greg Nicotero and saw some of the cool stuff that he's got planned for the second season and just different zombie stuff. And we discussed with him all of the key zombie moments that we've thought of for the second season so far, just to give him a heads up on what kind of stuff he's going to have to do. And I do have to say, like, maybe it's just because there's 13 episodes instead of 6, but it seems like there's like twice as much zombie stuff going on in every episode, even though we do have a lot more character development and stuff too. I think the second season is going to be really cool. But aside from like taking field trips to the K&B, you know, effects studio, we also have the actors coming into the room. We've had Andrew Lincoln and Sarah Wayne Callies and John Bernthal and Steven Yeun and Laurie Holden and Norman Reedus. Anytime an actor is in LA, we have them pop by and we just sit down and discuss their character with them and get their thoughts and insight on like what they think about the character, because apparently actors, you know, make up all kinds of stuff to help them act, and like they think about like who their character is, and it's really kind of remarkable. I mean, Andrew Lincoln came in and had this entire backstory for Rick, like who his parents were and what happened in his daily life and just stuff that he came up with to like inform his decisions on how he portrays. It's like actor stuff, I mean, whatever. It was really cool, and I was blown away. I was like, I never even thought about who Rick's parents were. I don't even care, but that's really cool, you know. So I'll probably use that in the comic. It's a fun process, and I really enjoy being in the room.
Are you guys, like, looking at, you know, you came up with some great zombie kills in season one. Have you already sort of planned out how you're going to raise the bar in season two?
I can say, sitting here knowing what I know about the second season, that, like, you can't even see the bar. It's been raised so much. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's coming up, and I'm really excited. I mean, you know, you get eight guys that like zombies that know that, you know, they're doing a TV show like The Walking Dead, and they know that you can get away with the kind of things we got away with on the first season. And it's really just an effort to find that thing that AMC is going to make us change, you know? So we're all sitting there going, oh, they'll make us change that. Oh, they'll make us change that. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up.
Have you been surprised with the level of leeway that they've given you in regards to, like, the violence and the gore?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I worry that, you know, I worry that we're getting a little too, like, oh, yeah, they'll let us do anything, you know? Just because they have been so accommodating and, you know, seemingly breaking their own rules by letting us put this kind of stuff on TV. It's really kind of shocking. But I think it's a testament to how successful the show has been, that they've been willing to go that extra mile and allow a zombie show to be a zombie show. You right. know, they're not pulling punches at all. And I think that's a big part of its success, that people who like zombie movies can actually sit down and watch this and not feel like they're getting a light version of a zombie movie. And, you know, we plan to put their willingness to, you know, stretch those boundaries to the test on the second season.
I was also wondering if you could talk a little about your upcoming series, The Infinite,
sure.
As well, and just, you know, give our readers an idea of, like, what you have planned in that and where that idea came from.
Cool. Well, the idea came from just Rob and I, you know, chatting about how much we want to work together, and, you know, eventually I was like, oh, let's do something with time travel. Let's do a science fiction thing, because I think that too often people set out to do a time travel story, and they basically just do... the same kind of stuff that's been established as if time travel is a real thing, you know? And I was like, no, if you like think about how time travel works, like there's all kinds of different things you could do that people really haven't seen. And so we're trying to kind of push the boundaries of what you can do in a time travel science fiction story and kind of mess with people's heads. And there's going to be a lot of things where you're like, wait a minute, that guy planned that and did that thing, and we haven't seen him do that yet, but it's already done because there's time travel. And and it's going to be a lot of fun. And working with Rob is just an absolute blast. I mean, I've been a fan of his since I was quite young, mm-hmm. you know, my early teens. You know, getting to actually write pages and get them back from him and just see, like, all the cool, you know, gear and energy he brings to the page and just, you know, all that cool stuff. I mean, I'm a huge fan of all that, so it's a treat to be able to work with him.
Is it difficult planning a time travel comic series, you know, based on, like, you know, when comics go month to month? And the reader has to kind of keep in mind, like, okay, this all came back, or, you know, will they have to, like, sort of pull out their earlier issues to keep kind of track of what's happening, or will, like, the comic sort of go month by month? Like, how is it structured to, like, help readers understand?
We're telling a finite story with The Infinite.
Okay.
But it's a regular monthly series, so it'll go for a duration, and then the story will complete much the same way, like, a Vertigo series or,
sure.
you know, the Luna's series at Image. You know, we're still mapping out exactly how many issues it's going to run, but it's going to run for a while. But the point is, when you get to the end of the story, I'm imagining people will go back and want to read the entire story again, knowing where it goes, because mm-hmm. there's all kinds of different things that lead to the end of the story that you're not going to know that you saw.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different... It takes an extreme amount of planning. I don't know that I've ever planned a series this, like, had a series this thought out before, like this early on in the stage. Like, I know, you know, exactly how the last issue is going to go. I know what I need to do to set up what happens in the last issue, and it's extremely complicated.
Well,
but yeah, it's fun. I like doing the work, like, whatever.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No. I was just, is this series also being planned to come out, like, in digital comic form? And
yeah.
Okay.
Well, all of my comics at this point will be launched in print and digital at the same time.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got physical, I'm just going to interrupt you.
No, I'm sorry. I'm being rude. I apologize.
No, you're not being rude at all. I have weird pauses in what I say, and it's not easy for you. But, you know, I've got evidence. Like, I've been doing Walking Dead Day and Date for almost a year now, mm-hmm. and the sales of the digital just keep going up, and the sales of the comics just keep going up, and Invincible has been digital for a briefer amount of time, but at least 5 or 6 months now. And I'm seeing the same thing happen. So I know that, you know, retailers sometimes get worried about that stuff, but I think that right now the digital audience and the print audience are different. And I like to think that the digital audience are, you know, I think that it will eventually be the, you know, 500,000 people that were buying comics in the 90s that went away.
right,
when there was the bust. And I think that I think some of those people are coming back because of the convenience of digital comics. And so I have high hopes that we'll eventually get to a point where print comics are selling basically what they are now, if not a little more, because digital comics are driving people to it. Mm-hmm. But the digital comics will be selling equal to the print comics. And I think that'll be, you know, possibly a kind of a boom for the industry. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Excellent.
Given your success with The Walking Dead and everything, I assume you're being flooded with all these offers and you have all these new opportunities that opened up. What does it feel like to be kind of flooded with just all these different utilities you now have at your disposal and stuff?
Well, I mean, it's good, and I feel kind of, I'm doing things like Skybound. You know, I feel like I have a responsibility to you know, use my power with great responsibility or some shit. So I don't know. So like I'm taking some of the resources that I'm getting from The Walking Dead and I'm using it to help promote books like Witch Doctor, things that I think, you know, deserve an extra set of eyes. I take like press opportunities and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do an interview, but you gotta talk to these guys, and like I get more people to talk about their book, and hopefully that will get that book to sell better and be a bigger success for Brandon and Lucas, because I think those guys are really talented and that book deserves to be a hit. And then, you know, other than that, I'm doing, you know, other stuff that nobody knows about. You know, I can't really talk about stuff. But I mean, I'm trying to take my resources and shift it into different areas, because The Walking Dead doesn't really need to be built up by all the different things that I'm getting to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to shift that over to other projects and kind of use a rising tide to raise all ships. And I'm not even making any sense at this point, so whatever. I'm trying to take advantage of all of the things that are coming to me for the benefit of comics, if I can do that. So we'll see how that works out in a couple of years. It'll probably be a massive failure.
What's your level of involvement with the Walking Dead video game that's being developed?
Well, I just had a meeting with them yesterday. I'm not writing the video game myself, just because I don't have time. But I can say that I like picking Frank Darabont for the show, I picked Telltale Games because they're very familiar with the comic book and they know what makes the comic book good and what makes the comic book The Walking Dead, as opposed to just, you know, zombies and running around and, you know, cutting people's heads off and
right.
stuff. Like, if you want to buy a game where you run around and kill zombies with an Uzi, that game exists.
Yes.
And there's more of those games coming out every week, and like you know, they're fun games and everybody likes them, but we're not going to try and compete with those games.
Okay.
We're going to try and do something a little different, something that's a little more true to The Walking Dead. And knowing that they're, you know, that invested in kind of changing, you know, what you might expect from a zombie game, and really kind of bringing the emotion and the drama of The Walking Dead to video games, like I kind of trust them. And but I mean, I'm overseeing everything, and you know.
What genre is it going to be? Is it going to be sort of like Press X to make complex moral choice, or is it going to be like I immediately regret that joke. I'm sorry. No, I just did, like, is it like more adventure? Is it more sort of? I mean, obviously, if
I don't know what the technical name. I know what the game is. I don't know if I can talk about it yet.
Okay.
And I don't know what the technical name for it is, and I don't know if I can say it if it is. But I know that the game will have shooting.
Okay.
It just won't be the focus of the game.
Okay.
So, you know.
And also, do you know if they're releasing it episodically like they've done with their Back to the Future games?
I do know, but I don't know if I can answer.
Okay, that's fine.
I think they do that with all their games though, right?
I think that's their plan, but I don't know if maybe they wanted to just do like a, you know, standalone, but
I'll let them announce that.
Right, that's fine.
Do you know how many episodes you'll be writing this season on The Walking Dead?
We're still working that out, but it'll be more. It'll probably be more than one.
Was there anything you wanted to do in the first season of the show that you weren't able to due to whether time or budget constraints?
Not really. I mean, there's different ideas that Frank had for different episodes, you know, from the beginning of the first season that. You know, like, he has ideas for the third season. Like, we
right.
talk about the third season and the fourth season a lot in the writer's room, which, you know, haven't been picked up yet by AMC, but we have high hopes. And so there's a lot of long-term planning. But, like, anything that we couldn't quite fit into the first season, like, that's just going to happen in the third season. There was actually a scene shot for the fifth episode that I don't know if that'll ever be released in some way, but it was a target practice scene where Andrea is shooting her gun, and that actually got cut from the fifth episode just for time, and it didn't fit with the episode, and so that's just something that we're probably going to touch on in season two. So like that, we'll just move stuff back.
Georgia recently had its film credits renewed. Like, there was a question about whether the tax credit would be renewed, and thankfully it was. I'm from Atlanta, so I was happy about that. Is the show going to continue shooting in Georgia?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, so we've already got the location set out for the second season. And yeah, it's all in Georgia, and we know where it is, and it all looks pretty cool.
Do you guys have anything planned for Comic-Con? Like, because last year the response was so huge, just getting a sneak peek at it. Are you guys coming back?
I'm hoping that we'll be in a bigger ballroom for our panel.
Yeah.
Because we were in the second biggest last year, and I hope that we're in Hall H this year.
I was just telling him earlier, like, I think it would be Comic-Con would be very wise to move.
Well, I'm a Comic-Con geek, and so I'm like, oh, man, if I had a panel in Hall H, like, that's kind of cool. I don't think most people in the world, like, give a crap what hall their panels are in, but,
right?
But I'd love to have a Hall H panel, and it'll be all empty, and I'll be like, "This was a mistake. Why did we do this? No, we couldn't fill Hall H. It was too soon."
There's one guy in a t-shirt with a little flag, going, yeah,
or a bunch of people in Twilight shirts for the next panel. So yeah, but I mean, I think that everything that they did, the big booth with the setup of the dead guy and all the big banners and everything that you saw, like, they did that when they didn't know the show was going to be a hit. So I think that, I'm not aware of everything that AMC has planned at this point, but I think that this Comic-Con will be even bigger. So
excellent.
They'll probably have a 7-story zombie walking the street in front of the convention center, and, you know, spaceships with the Walking Dead flying over. I mean, who knows?
Also, I was sort of wondering, you know, studios are starting to get, you know, in certain genres rise and fall. I think we're, fingers crossed, heading towards the decline of the vampire genre for now, and zombie films are more seem to be going into development. You have World War Z, Pride, Prejudice and Zombies versus Robots. I was sort of curious, what are your thoughts of, like, what makes The Walking Dead stand apart and appeal to audience different from other zombie franchises?
Well, while all zombie movies and, you know, books and comics to a certain extent focus on the characters, because you can't really make a zombie a main character, I think what The Walking Dead does differently is it takes that focus on the character and it, you know, kind of magnifies it tenfold. I mean, you know, there are issues of The Walking Dead that don't even feature zombies. There's going to be episodes of The Walking Dead that have barely any zombies, if any, in them eventually as we get through the seasons of the show. And it's really just about the characters. The zombies are much more of a backdrop than they seem to be in other things. And I think it's that intense focus of on the characters and their struggles and how they deal with the zombies. It's not really about how often they, you know, hack a zombie's head off. It's how sad they are after they have to hack a zombie's head off. I mean, that's really the key to it that I think that we're, you know, doing.
Excellent. Great. I wanted to thank you so much for giving us some time today. I really appreciate it. I understand you're very busy, and we just really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
I watch your videos sometimes. I see stuff on the site. Thanks for talking to me.